Right. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. We're continuing on in our series, Life Verse. We started this series because certain portions of God's Word, at least for me throughout my life, or my journey with Christ, that it has really helped me. Psalm 119:11, the psalmist writes, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And so we see the importance of not only knowing God's word, but really possessing the word of God. And so not only possessing the word of God, but hopefully releasing the word of God. So what we're going to do is identify seven verses. I know that there's so much more, so many more, but at least seven verses that we want people to a treasure in their heart. So we're going to memorize the Word of God together. And if you remember last week, we talked about Hebrews 11:6, right? If you picked up the memory verse card thingy from our hospitality team, you notice that that's the very first verse. If you have not, then I really want to encourage you. I think it's like a couple dollars. How much? $5. Not a couple, $5. But when you think about it, $5 divided by, I don't know, if you guys are 18, you live to be 80, right? So you divide that by 50, 60 some years of your life. I mean, how cheap is that? Right? So it's going to be the best investment that you're going to make. So do you guys remember Hebrews 11:6? Yeah? You guys want to, you guys feel brave enough to turn to your neighbor and remind them what that is? Yeah? You guys want to try it? Yeah? Why don't you do that? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and, or if you don't know it, you can look it up and read it to them. It's something to do with faith, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Whoever comes near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him, right? So today we're going to continue on in our series, and we're going to tackle Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Let's go ahead and read the Word of God together. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. He will make straight your paths. Let me read that again. That was from the ESV, but let me read that again from the Message translation. This is how the Message translation translates Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. He's the one who will keep you on track. For me, this has been a very powerful verse that has guided me through some of the toughest times and the most confusing times of my journey with Christ. When I felt so confused in terms of not only what I was supposed to do, but when I encountered struggles in my life. It's really these words that I have memorized. Part of the reason why I memorized them is because when I first went on a missions trip to Peru, we actually had to memorize the whole stack. And every Saturday we would come for training, we would have to go through these verses, and every wrong that we would get, we would have to do push-ups. And so that was a very good, I guess, incentive for me to memorize all these verses. But I remember especially this verse of trusting in God with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledging Him, and that He will make His path straight. I remember the verse speaking over and over again and reminding me during those times how even if I don't feel that God is trustworthy, that He actually is trustworthy, that I can trust God regardless of the circumstances, that I can trust God regardless of the struggles that I face in my life. Think about that word, trust. I think the Webster Dictionary defines the word trust as this: assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. It's the assured reliance on the character, the ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. When you think about it, that's a very powerful word, that we are actually able to trust in someone in their strength, in their character, in their ability. But also for many of us, when you think about the word trust, it's a scary word. Because maybe in the past you've trusted something or you've trusted someone and it didn't exactly work out the way that you imagined. Or maybe you trusted someone and they let you down, or you trusted a system and somehow it failed you. And so it's a powerful word, and sometimes it has a very positive impact and other times it has a very negative impact. But when you think about life, life is really all about trust. Because you have to trust in someone or something. So whether you trust in someone else or you trust in yourself, you trust in a system, you trust in certain thoughts, maybe you just trust in how it's always been. And that's what this verse is pointing us to, because when you think about what the book of Proverbs is, it's really the book of wisdom. And in this specific portion, especially chapter 3, it's a section where the father is passing on wisdom to his child. And the father is reminding his child to place their trust entirely on God, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, imparting this wisdom. And that's a challenge for all of us. Because I think part of what it means to live by faith is to trust in the Word of God, trust in the character of God, trust in the hope of God. But what does it mean for us to trust in God? So when I think about my specific context as a father of three, as a pastor, as a husband, what does it mean for me to trust in God during the season, not only of my life, but of our church? When I think about some of you who are about to graduate, what does it mean for you to trust in God through your circumstance? What does it mean for you to trust that God is going to open certain doors as you're maybe applying to grad schools, as you're thinking about, do I stay, do I go, what do I do? Maybe some of you are experiencing certain struggles in your heart, certain issues that you have to deal with, or maybe it's a relational conflict. Or maybe it's the things that we've been talking about during Access, your future. What does it mean to really trust that God is going to be able to provide for me everything that I need? The word trust in Hebrew there literally means that you are lying face down on the ground. So it literally means that you are in this position where you are absolutely helpless. And that you are completely dependent on someone else. And so when you think about this complete dependence on God, there's three specific aspects of what it means to trust in God that the author points us to, okay? So first, he says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Say it with me together, all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That literally means all of who you are. There's two different senses here. First of all, when he says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, what he's talking about is that our trust in God has to be complete. It cannot be conditional. It does not depend on circumstance. But it has to be absolute. Not only is it complete, but it's exclusive. So when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, he's saying, trust in God and God alone. It has to be exclusive, that you put all of your eggs in this God basket. That somehow we are not hedging our bet. That if this God thing doesn't work out, then at least I can go through this. That I'm going to put 80% of my investments into this, but 20% I'm going to place it somewhere else. No, it means literally it's all or nothing. So we trust in God completely with all of our lives. and we trust in God exclusively. Not only does he say with all of our hearts, but secondly, he says what? To lean not on your own understanding. Say it with me, leaning not on your own understanding. The word leaning there literally means supporting yourself. That you are supporting yourself so that you don't fall down. And so when you think about it, I mean, that's the fear that we have in our lives, right? We don't want to fall. We don't want to make mistakes. We don't want to choose the wrong major and discover that after 4 years of hard work that we can't get a job. And when we get a job, it's barely going to pay for, you know, our housing and cars and so forth. We don't want to fall flat on our face. We don't want to make certain decisions to realize, you know what, I've made the wrong decision. But the author says not to support yourself in your own understanding. That word understanding is literally having wisdom or what seems right to you from your own perspective. And all throughout the book of Proverbs, there's this contrast that happens between human understanding and human wisdom versus God's understanding and his wisdom. And so as the father is speaking to his child, he says, don't think about what you know. And don't rely on what you know. Don't rely on how much you think you know. Don't support yourself from what you are able to, in your limited perspective, see and understand. And it's very clear that you can't embrace both. That you cannot embrace God's wisdom and your wisdom. That you cannot let your wisdom and God's wisdom lead you at the same time. Because it's going to be this two team of horses. And in the beginning, they might start off slow pace and you're like, wow, this is cool. But next thing you know, they're going to be going in a completely different direction. And it's going to rip whatever it is that you're riding on apart in half. So it has this connotation that you have to embrace one or the other. That you do not lean or support yourself in your own understanding. And the last way that the author tells us is that in all of our ways that we acknowledge him. Say that with me. In all of our ways that we acknowledge him. The word acknowledge simply means to know. But not only just knowing in terms of what you know with your head, but it's knowing through a relational context, and I think that's really important. So when he says to trust in the Lord, to not lean on what you know, but in all of your ways to acknowledge him, what he's saying is not just to know the ways of God, but to know God himself. And it's in that relational context that you're going to be able to understand and to know. It's this intimate experience with a person's reality. And so it's this intimate experience that we constantly have with who God is. And through it, that God continues to fuel in us this faith where we're able to say, God, I'm going to trust in you. And so we acknowledge God in all of our ways. And that word all literally means in everything. So what seems so trivial and small to everything that seems maybe big, huge, life-changing, life-altering decisions, and everything in between, that the author says that we have to acknowledge, that we have to know. And the result then is that God is going to make straight our path. God is going to make straight our path, not only in the things that we ought to do, but in the ways that we ought to live, right? So when you think about straight path, it's not just, okay, God's going to reveal to me a 5-year plan. As long as I trust in God, as long as I don't lean on my own understanding, as long as I acknowledge God in all of my ways, then bam, from heaven comes this 10-year plan. Oh yeah, this is great, right? No, it's not just in the ways that you ought to go, but how you ought to live. And I think The father is actually more focused on that because he's more interested in his how his son should live in wisdom and holiness in a way that's going to ultimately please God. And I think sometimes that's where we trip up when we think about what does it mean for me to trust in God? Because not only is God interested in to the, that specific destination that you want to get to, but how are you going to be getting to that destination? So we trust in God with all of our hearts, that we don't lean on our own understanding, so we, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. And that as we do that, that God will make straight our path. Okay? Sounds simple, right? And it is simple, or at least it's straightforward. So practically speaking then, what does this mean for me and for you? So think about your context, right? How do I trust in God in the decisions that I need to make? Do I stay? Do I go? Do I take this job? Do I go to this grad school? My parents are telling me one thing. Seems like the church is pushing me in another direction. Maybe my interest lies over here. What do I do? And how do I trust in God through this process? How do I trust in God through my struggles? Feeling this way when the Word of God tells me that I should be this way. How do I deal with the issues? Or maybe it's just a general fog of confusion. How can I trust in God when I'm struggling with, can I even know God at all? So how do we trust in God? There's four things. And I want to try to make this very practical. And I actually got a lot of it from this book. And I've had this book, I think, since the late 90s. So it's a very old book. I think it's still in print. It's called Experiencing God. And this book has really helped me over the years. Actually, I still refer back to this book. And when I feel like I need to make some big decisions in my life, and when I'm confronted with certain issues where I'm being stretched to trust in God. And so it's a book that is written by Dr. Blackaby and Claude V. King. Actually, we just say Dr. Henry Blackaby. But anyhow, the two authors, right? So I want to try to condense everything that they say and try to make it a little bit more applicable. By the way, some of you are in that fog of confusion. This is a really good book because not only do you read it through, but it's actually a workbook that you kind of go through where you begin to interact with the Word of God. And it's laid out where it's literally little by little, every day, you just go through a certain section where they point you to certain scriptural truths and where you think about how does this apply to my life. And so I think it'll be a really good exercise for you guys to actually go through so that you can really discover, okay, how do I trust in God through this circumstance and how do I make certain decisions going forward, okay? Anyhow, so if you're there and if that's you, here it is. Experiencing God. So first of all, how do I begin to trust in God? It starts with the understanding that God is already at work. I think that has to come first. That we have to know that, okay, trusting in God, what does that mean? Well, it means that God is already at work in and through our lives. And that can be applied to many different situations and circumstances, right? Because when you think about, okay, I have to make decisions about my future, right? Do I go to grad school? Do I stay here? Do I do that? And some of us, it's more by, well, maybe I need to do this because why? There really isn't a good reason. Well, it's because my parents are there, so it's just automatic that I'm going to go here. Or it's that I'm going to this place because I heard that they have really good food, or I really enjoy and like the weather in the city. And, you know, we make decisions based on these factors, and I'm not saying that they're not important factors. But are they the most important factor? And so it's this understanding that God is already at work, that you're not trying to figure out, okay, God, what is it that I need to do for you? That God is already at work, that He has a plan and a purpose for you. That in your struggles, that God is already at work, that He has a vision of what your life could be or what it should be. This is what Dr. Blackaby says. I'm going to read this quote for us. It says, "Understanding what God is about to do, where I am, is more important than telling God what I want to do for Him." Oftentimes, that's how it works out when we try to engage with God, right? God, let me tell you what it is that I want to do for you, because this is my gifting, this is my passion, or God, this is what I want you to do for me in my life. But that's not what it means to trust in God. Trusting in God is believing that God has a plan and a purpose for you, and God is steering you towards this destiny. That it's not a destiny that you have to figure out, but it's a destiny that you need to embrace. So it starts with this understanding that God is already at work. And so when you already have this frame of reference in mind, trusting in God becomes an act of what? Adjusting your life so that you will be available to do what it is that God is calling you to do. That's very different from trying to figure out exactly what we want to do in our lives and asking God to bless it. And I know that many of us, we know this, that there is a plan and a purpose that God has for us, but sometimes the way that we live our lives, I don't know if we actually know it. Especially when it comes to making certain decisions. How do you go about making those decisions? And a lot of it, if we're honest with ourselves, it's more of a preferential thing. But if we know that God truly has a plan and a purpose, then we don't just go with the flow, but we seek to understand God's heart. And so it starts from God. It starts from His plan, and it starts from His purpose, and that's what we are trusting in. Okay? So that's the first thing, that God is already at work. Second thing is this, that as God is already at work, what God is calling you to do is that He's sending out invitations. And that invitation is to join Him in what He is already doing. So it's not trying to figure out, okay, what impact can I make for the kingdom of God, and what can I really do to utilize my talents and my experiences and so forth. No, it's figuring out, okay, God, what is it that you're doing, and what is it that you are calling me and giving me the privilege and the opportunity to join in? It's God inviting us to join Him in that work. And how does He do that? He does that by what? He does that by pursuing after us in that relationship. Because with God, relationship comes first. When you think about it, I mean, think about all the people that you trust in your life. Like, you really trust. Not just, okay, I'm going to trust that this person is going to pick out the right meal for me at McDonald's because they know my taste. But, like, really trust as in, I bought this brand new car, that person wants to borrow it, I'm going to trust that person. Man, when it comes to cars, especially with college, it's tough. I mean, it's tough, right? Because I remember my senior year in college, I had a 89-something Ford Escort. They don't even make those anymore. I mean, I think it was like the cheapest car that I could buy. And I think I bought it used from my dad's friend for like $2,000 or something like that. But, I mean, at that time, that was huge, right? Because the first car I ever bought, I bought it for $300. It was a 79 Chrysler LeBaron, beautiful car, V6. My friends helped me to tweak it up, and we had a lot of fun. that lasted a year. My transmission went out, and then after that, I bought a 79 Chevy Malibu, another beautiful car. Sounded great, stunk in the acceleration, but anyhow, so jumping from $300, $500, $2,000, huge. But when you look at it, it's a piece of junk, but that was such treasure for me. And so I wouldn't just lend it out to whoever. And so if someone came and said, Ben, can I borrow your car? And depending on who they were, I'd be like, you know what? Let me just drive you there. Let me serve you. In other words, that's my way of saying, you know, I don't trust you. There's no way that I'm leaving you alone with my baby. I don't know what you're going to do with my baby. So you know what? I'll just drive you there. You do whatever, and I'll bring you back. But other people, yeah, no problem. You think about all the people that you trust. Why do you trust them? Maybe they've proven themselves to be trustworthy. Maybe they have a track record. But I'll bet you anything, it's because of the relationships that you have, right? When you think about the people that you trust the most, it's probably your parents, or maybe your siblings, or maybe that high school teacher, or maybe one of your professors. Hopefully your life group leader, maybe your pastor's in there somewhere. But when you think about the people that you trust the most, it's because of this relationship. And that's what God is after. He's not just, okay, this is what I want you to do, go and do it. No. He says, let me love you first. Let me help you to know that I am your father, that you're my son, and that you're my daughter, and I love you. And that I've created to love you, not to use you, because I don't need you. The things that I want you to do, I can do those things fine on my own. But in this relationship, it brings delight to my heart to partner with you. And so it's this invitation to enter into this relationship with Him. And so when you think about how do I know what it means to trust God, the first question that we need to struggle with is, well, how well do you know God? Where are you in your relationship with God? And that's why it's really tough to make tough decisions when you're in that bad place with God, right? How do I decide certain things about my future? The first question I think you need to wrestle with is, where am I in my relationship with God? When He speaks, do I hear His voice? When He prompts certain things in my heart, am I able to recognize that's how the Spirit of God is leading me? Am I interacting with my Father every single day? And so as we begin to grow in this relationship, God speaks to us. How does He speak to us? I believe in four ways. Speak to us through the Word of God. That through the Bible, the Holy Spirit brings about specific convictions. And so when we even talk about how the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you, I mean, it's really through the revelation of God's Word. Not only through the Word of God, but through your prayer lives. That as you begin to wrestle with prayer. And that's why I always try to encourage people, do not make decisions without praying. And not just, God, I don't know what to do, so give me an answer, amen. All right, I've prayed. God, where is your answer? No, pray with God, wrestle with Him. You want certain things in your life to change? Fast. Prayer is about having this hunger that says, God, I want to know and hear from you more than anything. He speaks through the Word of God, through prayer. He speaks through circumstances. When God closes certain doors, God, does this mean that you don't want me to go through these doors? Yes. But it's confusing because sometimes He closes them because He wants you to persevere. And lastly, He speaks through the church, through the community of faith around you, through the body of believers. And that's why I'm a firm believer that when you make certain important decisions, yes, you ask God to speak to you through the Word, that you wrestle with God in prayer, But I'm a firm believer that you also bring it up before people that you are accountable to. So whether it's your life group leaders and ask for their wisdom, if your parents are strong believers, that you go before your parents and ask for their guidance, or you speak with spiritual authority and ask for their input. Because it's not just about, okay, me and Jesus, and we're going to do this life together. No, it's about the community of faith and Jesus, and you are part of that community of faith. And so it's through the word, it's through prayer, through circumstance, and through the church that God is going to speak. And through this deep abiding relationship with God, that when he speaks, that you will be able to hear his voice. And I think this is what the author means when he says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. How do you trust in someone with all your heart? Well, it's because you know that person inside out. You know that what he is calling you to do, he has your best interest. That he's never going to place you in a situation where you're going to absolutely fail and he's going to laugh in your face and say, "What's wrong with you, son or daughter?" That God is never going to set you up for failure. Does that mean you're not going to struggle? Of course you're going to struggle. Does that mean it's not going to be hard? Of course it's going to be hard. Because that's the part of that process of God building you up. But he will never set you up for failure. How do I know that? Because his ultimate goal is not for you to accomplish that purpose. So even if you don't get into medical school, from God's eyes, that doesn't mean that you failed. Because his goal isn't, "Oh my gosh, I wasn't able to get this person into medical school. I failed." His goal is what? To refine your life so that you become more like Jesus. And if through that failure you realize, "I need to be more like Jesus," then praise God. So God invites us to join him, to trust him with all of our hearts. And that as God invites us to join him, and as he speaks, that we're going to be confronted with a crisis of belief, what Dr. Blackaby calls crisis of belief. And this is how he defines crisis of belief, right? Crisis of belief is a turning point where you must make a decision. For those who are a little bit wishy-washy, sooner or later, you're going to have to decide. You must decide what you believe about God. How you respond at this turning point will determine whether you go on to be involved with God in something God-sized, only he can do, or whether you will continue to go your own way and miss what God has purposed for your life. But it's not a one-time experience. It's a daily experience. And I don't think he necessarily means like this life-defining moment where you miss that opportunity, then for the rest of your life that you're going to be living outside of the will of God. But he says it's a daily experience. So think about that. When God invites you into that relationship, when you wake up in the morning and you say, "You know what? I'm tired. I'm busy." Then you miss that opportunity. You miss that purpose that God has for you. So it's not just in the big things, but it starts from the daily small things. And so it's this crisis of belief where God is going to challenge us. And that as he begins to challenge us, that sooner or later that we're going to have to make a decision. So how does he challenge us? And I'm going to close with this. The last point is that as God confronts us in this crisis of belief, that we have to adjust our lives to God and step out in obedience. That we must adjust our lives to God and step out in obedience. So that's in all of our ways acknowledging him, right? So when you think about it, the invitation comes. God says to join me. I don't know, let me use an example. God says to join me because I'm going to be doing a HMCC church plant in the city of Panama. I don't know. So God says, "Join me." So you have this crisis of faith. Do I go? Do I not go? I speak a little bit of Spanish, but not really. What are my parents going to think? How about my future career? I want to get married first, but I'm still single. You know, there's going to be a crisis of belief. But God is going to challenge you, and he's going to stretch you, and you're going to have to make an adjustment. So adjustment in what? First of all, in your circumstances. That God might change your circumstances. That it's no longer that you are going the way that you thought somehow that your life would work out. For me, I remember when I went through this crisis of belief, right after I graduated from grad school, the change in circumstance for me was actually to stay in Ann Arbor. Not only the change in your circumstances, but God is going to challenge you so that you make adjustments in your relationships. Because when you change in your circumstances, what gets affected the most is your relationships. Especially your relationship with your parents. Because they might not understand, why is my son or my daughter making these decisions? Because it seems like that might not necessarily be the best in terms of their future. And so there might be adjustments where you still, yes, love them, respect your parents, but ultimately say, Mom, Dad, I gotta do what God is calling me to do. Maybe it might be with friends. Not only in your relationships, but in your thinking. And I can go on in your commitments, in your actions, in your beliefs. Dr. Blackaby says this. He says, the adjusting is always to a person. Remember that. That when God challenges you in your belief, when God challenges you in maybe certain conceived notions that we had of what it means to serve God, of how our future is going to look, how our struggle, as we're struggling through these things, that all it's all going to work out. The adjustments that God calls us to make is always to a person. It's not to an organization. It's not to our circumstances. But it's to God. That you adjust your life to God. You adjust your viewpoint to be like his viewpoint. You adjust your ways to be like his ways. After you make the necessary adjustments, he will tell you what to do next to obey him. When you obey him, you will experience him doing through you something only God can do. That as you step out in faith, and as you begin to obey him, that you will experience God doing something that only God can do through you. And what he points out there is that the key to obedience is ultimately going to require absolute surrender. That there is a huge cost involved in trusting in God. Even Jesus himself says that we have to learn to count the cost. And so when you think about this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I think what God is saying is that I want to bring an invitation into your life. And I want to give you an opportunity to partner with me in my desire to save the lost, in my heart to transform this campus and this city. That I want to make my burdens your burdens. That I want to make my people your people. That I want to make what brings delight into my heart the delight of your heart. But in order for me to do that, first of all, I'm going to pursue after you, and I'm going to show you how much I love you, and in that love, I'm going to tear down the idols that rule your life. The idols of having it your way. Certain relational idols that you might have had. And as I begin to tear down these idols, you have to make a decision. And that decision is either you accept my heart and my influence, or you reject it. You accept this opportunity for me to do something that only I can do? or you continue to live the life that you want to live, but miss out on my purpose and my plan for you. And I want you to know that it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you absolute surrender. That means that I am God, I am Lord, that I am in charge. And so when I tell you to go, you're going to go. When I tell you to speak, you're going to speak. When I tell you to stop, you're going to stop. But I'm going to show you that I can, that you can trust in me, because I am good. I am so good. How do we know that God is good? Well, that's the message of the gospel. That God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have life. The life that he destined for us. That he reminds us already that he is trustworthy, that he has already given us his best. That he would not spare his own Son. Then he will continue to do what is best for us. I think that's what it means to live a life of trust. That we trust God. All of our understanding. We don't lean on what we feel like is right. But as we begin to acknowledge who God is, that he will make our path straight. And so my question is, do you desire to make, for God to make your path straight? The one thing that we want to leave together with simply is this, that we are able to trust God through the loving relationship that he invites us into. That it's not about doing things for God. It's not about accomplishing great things. But it's about knowing God as Father. And it's about moving forward in the love and the power of the Father. Application. Memorize Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. This is going to be a worthwhile verse. I guarantee you that this verse will help you through many years and many difficulties, many circumstances, and even many confusions that will come. The rest is up to you. Some of you, that means that you need to focus in on your relationship with God. Because you're thinking about trust in God. I don't know if I can trust in God. Why is that? Because I don't know if I really know who God is. Then your application is that you have to know who God is. So you invest your time and energy and effort into knowing that God, developing your relationship with God. Some of us, we need to be confronted with the crisis of faith, crisis of belief. And that God is going to challenge you. Why are you thinking about the things that you want to do? Is it being birthed from the burdens that I'm placing in your heart? Or are you leaning on your own wisdom and understanding? Some of us, God is going to challenge you to rip down the idols of your life. That you're going to have to make certain decisions. And that you're going to really have to wrestle and think about, do I really want God to make my path straight? Because once I am on that path, that means doing it his way. You know, I always tell my kids, as long as you're living under my roof. I don't know if your parents ever said this to you. It's my way or the highway. And of course, afterwards, you know, I love you and I want to do what's best for you. But I was thinking about, what if God says, as long as you exist in my universe, it's my way or the highway. I mean, when you think about it, there's really no choice. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean that in a good way. No choice in the sense that we have the best daddy in the world who loves us unconditionally, who has already given us his best. who desires the best for us, if we know a God who is so good, so loving, so powerful, so kind, why would we not be willing to run to his heart? Even though at times it might be hard, even though at times it might be stretching, why would we not cry out from our hearts and say, God, I want to trust in you? Let's stand together.